News Service Daily Newscast for October the 27th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Exactly 30 days after her nomination, the Senate has voted to confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court to fill the seat of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Our Diane Bernard reports on the eve of the confirmation vote. A coalition of West Virginia groups protested in Charleston yesterday against their Republican senator's support of the nominee.
With many demonstrators dressed in bright red outfits from the TV show A Handmaid's Tale, speakers at the lively rally pointed out that appointing Barrett, a known conservative, would reverse years of progress on equal rights for women. Sam Hickman with the West Virginia National Association of Social Workers thinks Capito and the Senate needed to pass a COVID-19 relief package instead of pushing through a court nominee.
Shelley Moore Capito is apparently content to watch her constituents go without health care because they've lost their jobs and don't have anywhere to turn, to watch them be evicted from their homes, and to wonder what the future is going to be like for their children.
Capito's office did not return a request for comment by airtime. On her website, she confirms her support for Barrett, noting the judge has impressive legal knowledge and a high rating from the nonpartisan American Bar Association. I'm Diane Bernard.
A coalition of environmental business and health groups is urging New York State to take the lead in a regional effort to reduce carbon pollution from transportation.
Transportation is now the leading cause of carbon pollution in New York. A new collaboration of 12 states and the District of Columbia called the Transportation and Climate Initiative could help cut that pollution and raise funds for updating transportation infrastructure. According to Elizabeth Broad, who heads New Yorkers for Clean Power, it's modeled on the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative that has successfully reduced emissions from the power sector.
PCI would put a cap on transportation sector carbon pollution and require oil companies to reduce the pollution that they cause over time.
She says New York must take the lead in TCI regional negotiations to ensure that pollution caps meet the state's commitment to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Once states have signed on, the provisions of the Transportation and Climate Initiative go into effect in 2022. A fast-moving wildfire left two firefighters critically injured and forced more than 90,000 residents in Southern California to evacuate Monday. NBC News reporting large portions of the Golden State went without power in an effort to prevent more flames. The firefighters, 26 and 31 years old, were injured while battling the Silverado Fire. It had charred at least 7,200 acres in and around the community of Irvine, southeast of Los Angeles. This is PNS. When will we know? It's a question on the minds of many voters. More than a million absentee ballots in Minnesota already have been accepted by the state ahead of next week's election. Mike Bowen's been talking with officials who say having those up-to-date results might mean there won't be as much confusion election night as some have feared.
And in Minnesota, the legislature has temporarily allowed for ballots to arrive by November 10th, so long as they're postmarked by the 3rd. Secretary of State Steve Simon says that means 100% of the totals won't be in that night, but he says that's no reason to panic.
Just because we may not have 100% of the votes in for a week does not mean that people will be standing around wondering who won every office. That's not the case.
With a large amount of ballots already in, coupled with a fresh update on how many outstanding ballots there will be on Election Day, but he warns there might be some tight races that could still take several days to be called.
And Nebraskans age 50 and older create a big economic impact that should help the state's economy recover from the pandemic and drive economic growth for the next 30 years.
Todd Steubendeck with AARP Nebraska says the study refutes a popular misconception that as people get older, they become less valuable and contribute less to society.
And in truth, people over the age of 50 have a disproportionate positive impact. When you look at their contribution as a percentage of GDP, they're outpunching their weight, to use a sports analogy.
In 2018, people aged 50 and older made up just 34% of Nebraska's population, but contributed 39% to the state's total gross domestic product. That contribution, as consumers, workers, business owners, volunteers, and family caregivers, is expected to reach more than $150 billion by 2050. Steubendeck says many older Nebraskans continue to struggle economically, and investments at the state and local level can ensure they get the resources and opportunities they need. I'm Eric Galatis.
And finally, Mary Sherman tells us a new report reveals that communities throughout Michigan are paying the price for decades of state revenue sharing cuts.
Local revenue sharing payments are state taxes distributed to local governments. And according to the findings, these payments decreased more than 35% for cities, villages, and townships between 1997 and 2019. Report author Brandon Betts with the Michigan League for Public Policy notes counties saw one-fourth less during the same period.
Cities and counties and local units of government, they need this money very, very badly.
In 2019, real Michigan property tax collections were on par with collections in 2004.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on some of America's most interesting radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.